This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, make a sauce.
Hello, Merlin.
Hello. Are you okay, Alex?
I'm fine.
What's the matter?
Oh, no. That's
Are you guys all right? Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. I have to say, it actually was not our fault we were late. I guess I should have been hounding people to get out of the studio, but they looked important, so I just hid outside and waited.
It's okay. The listeners wouldn't know if you hadn't said anything. It's all right.
I know, but you know what? I believe in transparency. And
No.
Yeah, I
really?
Was gonna make a joke about Congress, but then I forgot. So, bok.
Thank you for sharing your truth.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Whatever happened to opacity? Can't we just be opaque? Can't we just not talk about things?
Mm.
Not you. I appreciate your transparency.
Yes.
How's it going, Max? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think I fully stopped caring about impeachment.
Good. Good.
I'm using the news apps like Google News and Apple News and stuff like that, and they only show me news about the Bachelor. They've definitely dialed in, both of them, that I like news about The Bachelor, so I get a lot of Bachelorverse gossip.
Uh-huh.
And then, what else do I get? I get, like, Rick and Morty, anything involving Rick and Morty. It's a lot of TV content.
Is there a lot of news about Rick and Morty?
You know what it is there's, like, websites that somehow worm their way into Google and Apple News that are not news websites. They're called, like, Screen Speech, or like called like, you know, Movie Rant or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, here's like seven unbelievable theories. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We sat down with Morty.
They're like, here's like seven unbelievable theories from Reddit about what this thing means in this show. And I always click on it because I want to know, but then I'm always like, someone got paid to write this? Like, that's unbelievable.
I get so mad when I click because I forget that it's watching me. And so like my For You section in Google News, I get a whole rock block here about Watchmen. You go down further. Collider.com says, what happened to Ehrlich Bachman in the Silicon Valley series finale? Star Wars is trying to make Obi-Wan's high ground less silly. And then something I'm following extremely closely is Apple's $52,000, $599 Mac Pro overpriced.
I missed that meme. Can someone walk me through that?
For really forever, people have said, look, Apple, why don't you give us the option to buy the nicest computer? Why don't you give us an option to buy an expandable computer? And you know what? Don't worry about what it costs. So they have a Mac Pro that starts at what, Alex, $5,000?
Yes.
And if you buy the version with 28 cores and multiple terabytes, you're not going to believe this, but it gets kind of costly.
Yeah, what is it? 128 gigs of RAM?
You know, do people not know that if you go on, I mean, it's not just the Mac Pro. Like, if you pick almost any Apple, like if you pick the iMac Pro or the MacBook Pro or any of those Apple computers, and you go in and you really juice it, I mean, you can get them all up to like $10,000, $15,000,
$20,000. Absolutely, but it was a funny little game that everybody was doing yesterday where everybody had gone and done the same thing, which is you go to the Apple page and you click. You know, no middle sliders, right? You're going to go all the way to the highest everything, and then you post a screen grab of it. You go, meh. And that's why I said yesterday, I put $51,000 worth of groceries in this cart and took a photo. Really makes you think, who needs all this?
I mean, Apple can't win, right? Because if they make something...
No, they can't.
If they make something that's affordable and mass market, people go, it doesn't have all the features I want. And it's
like, I don't like the way the E key feels.
They go...
The hot dogs are too small. You didn't like your mini golf ball.
People go, yeah, they didn't have my color golf ball. People go, well, there's some pro Android device that has that feature, right? And why doesn't Apple? Oh, Apple's going out of business, and they're gonna, you know, it's they don't know what to do after Steve Jobs because they don't have that feature.
Yeah, they've lost the thread and don't understand how to service their pro users. Boo.
Right. But then if they do make something that's like extremely cutting edge, like it has all the bells and whistles, it's like fully pro, and it's for, you know, it's for fucking pros who spend a lot of money on their computers. Then everyone goes, oh, it's just for rich people. And
it's the stupidest of stupid hot takes. It's something like Snell, who has some historical context for this. Something Snell said yesterday is, well, you know, when the FX2 came out, I don't have it in front of me, but the FX2 was a really amazing color Mac that came out in, I think, 1990 or 91. If you adjust for inflation, that base model was 3 times as much as the base model of the Mac Pro.
Well, yeah,
it was $17,000 in today's dollars for the base model of the FX2.
I was genuinely surprised.
So it's like, what are you saying? What does it mean? What is it? What the fuck are you? What is it you're saying?
Exactly. Why were people mad? I mean, most folks in like our circles, we were all expecting this, and I'm excited. I want super high end.
But you could do it, as Max said, yeah. Alex. You could do it with literally anything.
Yeah.
You could go and make something silly. And say, who needs this? And you're like, well, somebody needs it. It's like the old joke, the meta joke about stand-up comedy. You know, diabetic candy, who eats this stuff? People with diabetes, you asshole.
Have you guys ever gone on a, well, Merlin, I know you haven't, but Alex, have you ever gone on a gaming PC website to build a gaming PC?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the guys who started Alienware and they have the new one now. That's what I got my gaming PC from.
Is this like where you get, like, you get it like water cooled and lights that blink and all that kind of stuff? You can see inside of it and it looks like a big gaping maw.
Damn, this is going to drive me crazy. Alienware, like, new.
I just Googled Alienware new.
Origin PC. So I encourage anyone who's got a hot take about how much this thing costs, go on Origin. It's originpc.com, and go shop now and configure yourself a high-end gaming PC and start throwing stuff in there. Put 2 graphics cards in there. Put the water cooling. Put the hard drive bay. Put all the stuff in there. See, I bet you could at least get that sucker up to $30,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't do all the stuff that the Mac Pro does.
And also that's targeted towards gamer, like specifically this company is, they're not creating professional machines for animation and shit like that. It's for the Fortniters and the ninjas of the world.
Yeah, I mean, like, but the same take on this is, well, there's a somewhat obvious dad thing to say here along the lines of diabetic candy, which is, well, it sounds like that's not for you. Like, but it's not for you. We get that. But then, like, you're just going to do this hit job on Apple that they charge too much for things. Is that where we're going with this? I'm sitting here at the Dell site, and it is not difficult even to make a Dell expensive.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
I am getting a Dell. No, but you're right. But I don't know. People love a little, like, you know, 26-hour meme. And I guess that's what we have now.
Mm.
But I don't know, man. Like, well, okay, so here's a question, though. Alex, did you buy a computer, did you say?
I did, yes.
Did you want to talk about it, or are you going to talk about it somewhere else?
No, I'll send you. Let me pull it.
Try not to be negative. Try to be positive. I want to manifest joy in the world.
I think I can't really put a link in because I...
Here we go. Let's do 8x 16 gigabytes RAM.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Get all the RAM because you're going to want that for your...
Yeah,
for your,
I need that to play Overwatch.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get all the cooling.
High altitude, low opening, they call it.
Give me the cryo core.
Cryo core. Oh, you sent me an actual link to
it. I did. I bought an actual computer.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, did you get a Mac Pro?
No. Good
God. What did you get?
What do you...
I don't know.
No,
what did you get?
I got a, well, this one's $371. I got a $200 Apple MacBook Air from 2012, I think it is.
Why?
It's 11 inch. Because I...
Do they charge extra for all that bezel? That's nice. You can put Post-it notes on there, full-size Post-it notes.
Just for a couple reasons, it is...
This is
Why
very
is it,
silly.
It looks it's so cute.
Why did you buy a computer that's that old?
One, it was part the first. This was like my second favorite computer ever after the PowerBook 12 inch.
Oh, this is like me buying Micronauts. I get it.
And
okay.
Well, and I was watching my friend use one the other day, and it was the base model from like 10 years ago. And they were, it was working. They were running Catalina on it. And I was like, oh, well.
And so then you pop for the 128 gig drive, huh?
Well, my phone only has half of that. I'm basically like, can I use this thing as a netbook? Because it is small. It's like 1 gram heavier than my MacBook Pro. And when I don't travel for work, I get nervous not having a Mac still.
Your iPad Pro?
There we go. I got this sucker up to $10,000, no problem.
Oh.
And all that does is play video games. That's not like a great computer for doing work.
Well, again, this is not funny, but like people were saying in Slack, I think it was on our channel, where somebody was saying they've talked to a handful of people in like high-end video production and are like,
yeah,
that's nothing compared to what they pay for
Well, it's like similarly, like people were making fun of Apple for that monitor, you know,
Well, that's specifically what our friend was talking about.
Oh, yeah, like, right. Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah, the nits. They don't even get as many nits out of the other one.
Well, if you buy, like I think we've said this before on the show, but like sometimes when we're editing a video, Alex rents me a monitor for like color proofing.
Mm-hmm.
And just to rent that thing is $1,000
or something? It's $1,000 a week for a what? It's like a
13-inch. Yeah.
And we this
and it just all it does is it sits on my desk and I plug it into my Mac, mm-hmm. and when I'm editing a video I can look at it on that screen and that screen shows me the colors in the black and stuff with more.
Does it have a hood? Does it have like a?
It does. Yes, mm-hmm. it does. Yeah, and it shows me it shows me the colors like better basically than my. You know, what do I have that the not Apple monitor they sell at the Apple store?
The shitty LG one.
The LG.
And this is also, you know, a monitor that has been, the reference monitor, has been used hundreds of times before. And so it's like, who knows?
Yeah, it's got the fucking Cheetos dust from the last guy.
Yeah, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. It's hot off the porn set.
You know what? I would say that it was if you are, I think it is prohibited for adult entertainment use. Like that's actually like in the AV Chicago bylaws.
Oh wow!
So,
obviously,
so
you just
if
lie.
Here's the thing. Exactly.
Well, no, you do a you do what they call it a pixel capture when you.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They're like, well, we can't return this with cum on it. You're allowed Cheeto dust, but you can't get cum on it. So they're really gonna get the Purell in there. Like lots of.
These are professionals,
wipes.
Alex. Exactly. If they're taking the time to make sure the color. Of the lobby is correct. I don't think we should fault them.
You're not going
to
be that close with the field monitor.
Well.
I don't think you can jerk it on set. I think California law, you can't jerk it on set.
You're not going to catch the load on the field monitor, I don't think.
Well, you need to make sure the fluffer has an accurate view.
Mm-hmm.
Is a fluffer a turns out? Is that not a real thing?
Well, I think it's
fluffer.
A thing.
I'll put it in the show notes.
But I mean, these are professionals,
mm-hmm.
You know, and if they're out there, you know, the thing is, I think California labor law, I think you cannot ejaculate on set unless it's part of the narrative. And that's why it's so important to have a strong story. What they say is this story has good bones, is what they say.
Is that true?
I don't know.
There's a lot of laws. I think, isn't there like a condom thing?
That's very funny
that
if
it
it's
very
true.
Funny.
Why do the Japanese pixelate everything? Why are you even making it? I mean, why would you make it? I mean that's so strange. This is the same country that makes very costly fake sushi and puts it in front of the place and says this is what the food would be if it was food.
Life.
But then they pixelate the sushi, if you know what I mean. It's hard to really get in there.
That's funny.
Some things you can show.
That is funny. But,
yeah, you need a reference monitor. Hi.
Now that's obscene.
Hey. Is there anybody? Tweet at us or hit us up on the Discord. Let us know about Japanese federal pixelation.
Huge, tremendous amounts of follow-up.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to get my follow-up all over the reference monitor here.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, number one, Auto-Tune in Broadway and on the Disney show Encore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I received many messages and emails. About half of them said, I'm gonna create a composite character, so I don't blow anyone's cover here. But I got maybe 3 or 4 messages from people who said either I work in Broadway or in theater, or I know someone who's like an audio engineer on Broadway or theater, and there is a code of honor where they would never alter the vocal performance of someone on stage. That's just not how it works, and there's an ethics and rules, and that's not how it works.
At all, or without telling them?
No. That is what...
It's like when they replace, you know, Natalie Wood with Marnie Nixon, that kind of thing?
About 3 or 4 people wrote in and said, it's just not done because of professional standards. Then I got another 3 or 4 people who wrote in, and they said, I work in theater, or I know an audio engineer who works on Broadway, and they auto-tune like crazy, everyone all of the time. It's just nothing but pitch correction, and the technology is very cheap and available, and they said a lot of people don't even know that they're being pitch corrected, but it's just part of the vocal chain, and it's just done standard. So thank you, everyone, for that very clear, satisfying answer. Another mystery solved by the Dubai Friday audience.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Just, you know, I'm happy with how that turned out.
They call it the wisdom of crowds, man.
Yeah.
What's the next follow-up?
Number 2 was I got a lot of notes about the home automation. I have to say, a few people wrote me and said that they have some sort of home bridge situation in their house. And that, so one guy said, if a light breeze blows through, the home bridge goes down. Like he said, it is not what I'm looking for in terms of like reliability, and it just works all the time.
Wait, so he reached out to say, no, I don't have
what
you want?
I specifically said, tell me your experience. I said, I want to dabble with Homebridge, and if you have any expertise, you know, tell me. A lot of people very generously offered to like reach out and help me, but I did order this thing after the show, Merlin recommended, called Hoobs.
Hoobs.
You go to hoobs.org, hoobs.org. The thing will arrive tomorrow, so I have no review or endorsement of this product. But I think did Matt just get one, or someone just got one, and we've been chatting. Oh no, I know who it was. It was Matt.
Matt Cassinelli
just
Matthew
got one.
Corleone's
so,
got one.
Yeah, so Oops. I think they were pretty excited about it. But I'm thinking what I might do, depending on if it impacts any of my like privacy, like any of my like home settings or something, is I might do a little live stream of setting the Hoobs up, maybe next week or something, and I might just do that on the just like a friends only thing on the Discord. So
because you can't show Hoobs on Instagram anymore, it's
shame. Well, you have to pixelate out the good parts.
Yeah.
But if anyone is, I mean, I recognize that.
Do I have some follow up on that?
This probably only applies to 3 people, but if you're interested,
this is going
to
be huge. People love Hoobs. You have to pixelate them in Japan, but people love Hoobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in learning about how the Homebridge thing sets up the Hoobs thing, I will probably post something in the Discord about that in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everyone who reached out.
Mm-hmm.
Under Article 175 of the Criminal Code of Japan, people who sell or distribute obscene materials can be punished by fines or imprisonment. It was included in the original document in 1907. Ooh, showing pubic hair and adult genitalia was once considered obscene. I'm still not finding a specific... See, my question is there something that stipulates... Okay, so is the pixelation a hack that everybody has just agreed on? Or is there a level like where you could go up in court and you could have some big exhibits and say, this cooter is fine. It's been pixelated enough that it's not confusing to me or giving me feelings, whereas this vajayjay over here, the pixels are too clear.
Mm. Oh, interesting. So you're saying how they...
Yeah, where do you draw the line? Do you know pixelation when you see it, like Justice Potter said, right? Like, there must be a line. I don't know if it's been tried in court. Maybe this is something for Popat. I found some stuff about tentacles. So anyway, that'll all be in show notes.
Yep.
Dan, where would people find show notes for episode diggity 1?
You can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. You go, it's $5 a month, you get the show notes. Well, they're
that's,
free
that's
on
not
the
true.
If you look,
that's not true.
Well, if you look in the podcast description, they're there, but they're pixelated.
Yeah. You can only find notes for the last 10 episodes, and then it goes on iTunes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's an article about whether you can depixelate. Can you depixelate Japanese porn?
Oh, boy.
That's someone's like PhD thesis. They're sitting there. They're going, oh someday I'm going to see this one with the
pixels.
dude, it's Japan. So guess what? There is a device that you can buy. That you run your RCA jacks into that claims to unpixelate porn.
No, that's impossible.
That's not.
It's called the Mosaic. This sounds like a William Gibson book. The Mosaic Removal Machines.
Wait, put these in the dock. Put these in the dock. I want to see.
All right, I gotta get a water.
All right.
There's no water in here. The little cups are gone.
The little cups are, yeah, we don't, well, you know, oh, I was right. They are important. I'm like, guys, oh, Merlin, we have little cups in the.
Look, you mentioned little cups several times now.
Little
what
cups,
are little cups?
Little cups. They're not the hoobs. I like a little hoob. It's surprising. But, you know,
Most of my lady friends have had little hoobs.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, just a nice carry around device. But there were. Important people around this morning, and wow. Yeah, sorry I'm late. Wow. So sorry I'm
weird
late.
Flex. so important people. So I don't know if that was
Alex. You're saying there was one stray cup hanging out in there, just waiting for me to come in and get my cup. But then someone snatched it. The plan was that there would be cups here, but the last one just went from the last podcast.
I like a B cup.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm. only because an intern checks every morning.
I think a B cup's an underrated cup.
Yeah. Love the. Ugh.
Okay. So this lady is looking at a screen. She's got collections of dolls and high heels, and she's looking at something pixelated. And she's wearing like gothy lady stockings.
I thought
she's kind of like a sexy Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
Not that Kristen Schaal's not sexy, but I don't have an opinion about sexiness. Uh-huh. God damn it. And there's the device. What's it called? The Braddock device? No.
I don't like the website this is on, extremetech.com.
Extremetech. Here's the sections. Computing. Phones. Cars. Gaming. Science. Space. Deep dives. Deals. Shop.
Some of these feel a little.
Every time I see the word deals, I have to say it like Jonathan Goldstein.
Deals.
So you can depixelate it. Your B cups.
I keep thinking she has pulled her pants down, but they're just stockings. As
I think she's just wearing a boyfriend. They call it a boyfriend shirt.
Yes, I guess. Oh, boy.
Why are the ladies' shoes in front of the thing? What is happening?
Oh.
There?
I
is that Yoshi? Who is that?
Okay, so yes, there's studded or bedazzled.
Studded lady heels.
Yep. There's some wrestlers. There's no Yoshi. There's just a green bear.
Every time I see a green doll, I assume it's a Yoshi. That's Yoshi's green, right?
Yeah. Or
okay.
Pink.
All right. Well, I think we've exhausted that particular B cup.
Mm-hmm.
Trendy topics. I'm closing that one. I just learned how to pin tabs, so that's kind of exciting.
Oh, congrats.
We talked about your new computer. Hey, no, I don't want to talk about the show on the show. But anyway,
you can't be like, that's like saying I have a crush on somebody, I'm not going to tell
I'm
you.
Unpixelate that for us, Merlin.
Yeah.
I was watching Star Trek Discovery last night, mm-hmm. which I'm really enjoying. And you're not going to believe this, but I had you guys muted because you got a little bit high volume. And I missed a lot last night, but it sounds like a team of helpers did lots of work last night to get treats to our friends. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, those treats are going out, baby.
Yeah.
We have, so basically.
You also learned about Windows software.
Yeah, yeah. So basically what happens here in Dubai, maybe there's some new people here. Maybe they're just here for the. We showed up on their Google search monitor. Their Google search alert for depixelated pornography technology, and they're like, they're going to review the new devices. But you're probably wondering how things work here at Dubai Friday.
This one has many more nits.
Yeah, and you're probably going, oh, these guys don't have any ads for stamps.com or I don't know.
Mattress pleasers? We don't have mattress pleasers.
Suitcases here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The wonderful suitcases of away.com, which I personally endorse.
You got to have hustle and grind.
Yeah.
How else are you going to make a suitcase?
Yeah. There's no fucking work ethic in this country anymore.
God damn it. You what if you have a dream like Max or Disney?
Yeah. Alex, make a note.
So you're here. You're here because you want to unfuck the Japanese lady's cooter. Welcome.
Yes.
But here's what we're here to tell you is we got a lot going on.
Yeah, that's right. So we don't have ads for any of that stuff, and that's because we're just supported on our little old Patreon. Which you can go to giveusyourfuckmoney.com. You give us $5 a month, and you get the after show, the Do By Friday after show. It's like a whole second episode every week. That's the unpixelated version, if you will. And then there's another option on there where if you give us $10 a month, we will send you a few times a year. You'll get a little surprise in the mail, a little treat for our Cox's Cucks. As of the time of this broadcast,
you're too late.
It is too late. It does not. It is not going to help you get this last package if you become a Cox's Cuck. However, it is not too late to save yourself. If you become a $10 Cox's Cuck, you will get the next one. Mm-hmm. There is always a next one.
That's true. Yes.
Until we start fighting with each other and the podcast is dissolved.
No, see that you young people. No, listen. It's work. It's work, and you do the work. You don't fight with each other. Podcast drama. Mm. Give me a break. So it looks like you and Matchy and Quinn, you looked very tired last night. No, see, you shouldn't say that to a person. No, you all look beautiful. You shouldn't say that either.
Yeah, you look tired.
It doesn't look like anything to me.
You look classy. And it looks like you guys stuffed. Can I say that? Are we allowed to say that? Stuffed envelopes?
Not in Japan, baby.
Yeah. Why is my laugh so
Tomo Arigato, Mr. Roboto. And so you went and unfucked that cooter, is what I'm saying. And it sounds like you guys put things in papers.
Yeah,
so you guys got, we have about 1,000 of these things to send out. So you
995 happy haunts.
Mm-hmm. You packed all the envelopes with all the stuff, and we have. I want to temper expectations here, but there's more than one thing in these envelopes, so it's a bit of a...
Okay, treat's coming in, it's cool, but thank you to... Did you get volunteers, or was it really just you three hardworking people?
Yeah, it was just us.
You Quinn, and Matchy did all of that?
Our friend Kara briefly helped as well.
Well, thank you to everybody. Yeah, thank you for doing that. I was watching Star Trek Discovery, which I think is very good.
When I checked in, Kara was stuffing envelopes and Matchy was in the kitchen baking Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and
playing
then
with my drone with me.
Yeah. Yeah, last night it was only a couple hours of stuffing. The day before, a new drone occurred.
And it's in the office.
A drone occurred.
I went and flew a drone outside, and Alex was terrified of it, and Maddie was like, "This is the coolest thing I've ever seen."
They're so scary. They're really scary.
It's not that. Well, Max, can you tell us about the new laws?
Well, I'm not. I really don't know what I'm talking about here, but I know that I have a previous like DJI drone that I've used to film stuff, and my understanding is that since I got that drone, the rules have changed really dramatically about flying drones. Because when I got this a couple years ago,
more restrictive.
Yeah, when I got it a couple years ago, I mean, I don't think there were any rules of what I mean.
It's basically like stay away from the airports.
Yeah, right. Well, the DJI.
Have you always had to register it?
Well, the DJI people, they in their software, they actually don't allow you to fly near airports. Like that, it will like disable the drone if you fly into like.
Oh, that is
that's so
smart.
Interesting.
So it's like geo fenced, basically.
Oh, that's really
so
smart.
So that's that part, but. But yeah, you know, I think now you're supposed to have like a commercial, someone with a commercial pilot's license, like supervising your flight. I've heard something about that you might need to file like flight plans for your drone. You need to register like the serial number of the device with the state. And it seems like really, really restrictive to fly. And honestly, I haven't shot with it, even though I own this thing. I have a DJI Mavic, like a first generation Mavic. And it's an amazing piece of equipment, but I just don't use it because I'm scared of that. I know that I'm not in compliance with all the rules for flying it, so I just don't fly it anymore. And DJI has a new thing out, which is called the Mavic 249. And basically the rule is that all these new FAA rules about drones, they have a carve-out for toys. So if it's a toy drone, you don't have to follow any rules. You can just fly it wherever you want. I mean, not into airports and stuff, but you don't have to file a flight plan. And the way they define a toy is a drone that's less than 250 grams. So now there's a DJI 249 and it weighs 249 grams, and
it's beautiful,
just under the rules, and you can go fly it how you want. I mean, it's really tiny. It's small. It's like the size of an iPhone.
That's wild. And so, what keeps it from flying to where it can't receive a signal from you? I've always wondered that.
So it's. how do I describe it?
Is it software on the hardware that says, okay, I realize I'm getting to a point where the signal is weak and I need to get closer to where I was?
So the first thing I'll say is, I don't know if you, I only can speak about the DJI products. I'm sure there's a huge array of these things out there, but I
love their gimbals.
I only know the DJI ones. So the way DJI works is you do not pilot it with your phone. I think maybe that's a misconception. Like, it has a really serious like radio controller, like two joystick thing. And your phone clips into it. And the phone is like a little monitor, so it shows you what the camera of the drone sees.
Right.
But you're not
it's just a monitor. It's not.
Yes, you're
it's
using
not piloting
like
the
physical
plane.
Thumbsticks attached to a big radio transmitter controller that has to charge up that controls the drone. And basically, I think what's happening when you use these thumbsticks, you are maneuvering the drone, but I think it's basically half you and half the computer. So you nudge it left, and then the computer basically it's not like a wheel on a car where it's like connected to the drivetrain. I think there's a computer program that's like, the user wants the drone to move to the left. Can we do that, and how do we do it?
Mm-hmm. I imagine it's somewhat similar to a Segway, where like if I wanted to go 40 miles an hour, there's no way it would let me do that.
And well,
I mean, you can fuck yourself up pretty good on a Segway, but
yeah,
there it does what it can to try and prevent you from doing something stupid.
There's a good
it tries.
There's a good amount of auto. There's a really, really good amount of autopilot. So you program it with different restrictions in the settings of the app, but then also like if the signal starts to get weak, it will just bring itself back towards the transmitter. Independent of what you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. It won't. Okay. I get it. That makes sense.
But also, like, this thing can go, not that I've done this, but it can go really far, like way out of your sight line, and you still have control.
The new toy one.
Well, all of them. That's like one of their big selling features is that it has this dual antenna. It's like a serious radio transmitter.
Wow.
And it gets the video signal, and it goes way out there.
Oh, did you peel the sticker off?
No, I think it was just getting that. I think it was the cold. I don't know.
Oh, that's so wild. You should put stuff on Vimeo. Your Vimeo is very good. Have you guys been on the Segway website recently?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, not super schmooper recently, but you know, what's up? Because I'm always looking for when's the next one going to come out.
No, I mean, I didn't realize that the Lumo. Actually, you know, the one they did, it's the advanced personal robot that for some reason they put on Indiegogo. Oh. Like, okay.
Oh, right. Right. Okay. Yes, it's a segue. I'm clicking.
And now the Scoot Scoot, that's a lie, the Lumo Scoot Scoot is available. Hello, friend.
Lumo.
Oh,
look at Scoot Scoot.
Oh, it looks like
a little Eve.
I almost died in a plane crash.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe that's too dramatic. But Veronica and I did a quick little a weekend trip to New York to go see some plays and stuff. And on the way back this week, we were taking off from LaGuardia. And we take off from the runway and we're on that ascent, and then all of a sudden I just feel this crazy, like my stomach, you know, drops to the bottom of my body, like that crazy, like, you know, like you go off a drop on a roller coaster.
If you don't know that's coming, that's a bummer.
Quite an intense, as intense of that feeling as I have ever had on an airplane. And the plane is like really banking, like quite at quite an extreme angle for a commercial aircraft.
My God.
And then they kind of smooth things out. And a few minutes later, the pilot comes on the thing and he goes, you guys probably felt when we had to do that maneuver a few minutes ago. And basically, there was a very dense fog and you couldn't see, couldn't really see anything out of the windows, at least from my little window. You know, I always like a wing seat because I like to monitor the situation, make sure the wing is still attached. The pilot goes, you probably felt that. And what happened was shortly after we took off, we got a message from air traffic control, and they said that the aircraft in front of us was not moving as quickly as anticipated, and we needed to do an emergency maneuver to, how did he say it, to avoid a loss of distance between the two aircraft.
Yeah.
Grammar's fine.
It's so important to try not to lose that.
Otherwise, it was a great flight.
Did they serve food?
Yeah, the Stroop waffles. Food? No, oh. I got a little Stroop waffle.
Oh.
Stroop waffle. Oh, I love Stroop waffle.
Yeah, that's on the United flights now. You get a little Stroop waffle.
Oh, it was United, huh? Wonder of wonders.
Miracle of miracles.
Oh, there's so many things that they can lose. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, maybe I'm exaggerating how dangerous that was, but it's definitely I've never had anything like that happen to me on a plane before where, you know.
It reminds you how often things go mostly okay. I've had some where like there was like a, God, probably 1 or 2 second, like whoopsie doopsie, whoa. One of those like you're describing, but only for a couple seconds. Mm-hmm. I've never had one where there was anything like that dramatic, but it's super upsetting. And I'm a pretty good flyer. Like I don't get sick. It doesn't bother me. It's all fine. I'm no John Syracuse.
I've had some turbulence that was very upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because there are, you know, understandably kids and adults that will get upset about, I mean, just think about when you're a little kid and the plane is descending. Your ears are so sensitive, you know, and it really hurts. But there are people who are very sensitive to turbulence in general. But what you hate is that moment where everybody is just about to be bothered. You know what I mean? We're like, it's not just that there's somebody sensitive who's bothered by what's happening. It's where all the normal people are like looking at each other and going,
this isn't right.
Should I be freaking out more? Because I kind of feel like, oh, you're about to freak out too. Oh, I think we are all very close to freaking out. It's so important that this end very mm-hmm, soon.
Mm-hmm. This thing kind of came and went, and it was hard to, even for me, like I fly a lot, and it was hard for me to tell if something was wrong. I mean, I was like, basically I was like, wow, this guy's being very aggressive about you know what? You know when you take off and they have to do that? They always take off at the end of the runway, and then you sort of have to bank to point the plane mm-hmm. in the right direction. And I thought it was that. And I was like, this guy's being very, anyway, this is now a boring story. But I was like, I just thought the pilot was being aggressive.
No, it's not, because every airport's different. There's an airport, I think it's the Bob Hope Airport at Palm Springs. I don't know if you've ever flown in or out of there, but it's practically like a military maneuver. There's all kinds of limitations, I guess, partly because of the mountains. You're in the desert, but near a mountain. And like, you have to do the craziest thing in three dimensions to get, especially out of that airport. Mm-hmm. And it's very upsetting. And they're usually pretty small planes. And there's banking and fairly steep rises. And like, I do not like flying in and out of there. But it varies. Like every place is different. I mean, in Florida, I mean, it's basically an airstrip already.
I will be flying into that Palm Springs airport on Saturday.
Give me your thoughts on it. See what you think. I passed out on the tarmac. I passed out on the tarmac there once.
What?
What?
Oh, totally. I was on a... Where was it? We were going from, I think, probably San Francisco to L.A. No, I forget why. But anyway, we were on, it's the smallest plane I've ever been on. It really, there are many consumer prop planes that are bigger than the one I was on. It had really a handful of seats. It's the smallest, very, very small plane. And you know that thing where you sit on the tarmac and it sucks? And you know that thing where you sit on the tarmac and you're like, is there any way the air could move? Is there any way you could like turn on a fan? You know what I'm talking about? I guess I don't know why they do that, but sometimes mm-hmm. you know the fans are blasting on. Like, if you're on like a regular plane, they'll have those little overhead fans. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if you've ever been on a plane when they don't have the air movement, now imagine being on a plane that holds like fewer than like 10 or 20 people. And of course, I'd taken a lot of Imodium that day to be able to make it through the day, and was very dehydrated, and I totally passed out in my seat.
Aww.
It was very, very unpleasant. I woke up moist.
So
that was a relief.
Oh dear. Was
Imodium is so important.
I don't think I've ever... I don't really understand what Imodium is.
Imodium removes the liquid from your bowels and prevents you from having diarrhea. It's really super good. Do you ever use Imodium, Max?
I have it in my travel bag just in case, but
But you never take it as a prophylactic.
No, I would not take it as a prophylactic.
Okay. I could highly recommend 1 to 4 Imodium.
No, I just hold my diarrhea in when I'm traveling. I just wait until I get to the hotel.
Well, that is a gift, my friend. Do you feel like there's been inflation in MILFs and teens? Be honest.
Excuse me?
All right. I guess we're moving on. Dig Dug, what?
I feel like there's been... No, cut this from the show. I just feel like there's been a lot of inflation. I feel like we're grading the curve is very off for what they call MILFs and they call teens. And I think it's sickening. I think we need to say it's okay to just be a person. You don't have to be of a certain age. I'm just saying, you don't feel like you see that at all, though. What qualifies as a MILF now? You see, like, a woman in her, like, late 20s is a MILF now. You don't see this just on the regular internet?
This was in the John...
No,
this was
actually.
This was in the John Ronson thing where he talked about this, and he's like, in a porn star's career, they have these the fallow years between teen and MILF where you can't work.
Oh, interesting. Really?
You can't work.
Okay.
So basically...
When you can pass as teen or you reluctantly become a MILF. It's like playing a mom in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like when you've gone... When you've become like... I mean, an empirically beautiful woman... Sorry, we don't say that anymore. But, you know, what's her name? Not Anne Hathaway. Mel Brooks' wife. The Graduate. Anne, help me out. Who's Lady
Amy
in The Graduate?
Paul. Mrs. Robinson.
Green Gables.
I don't know.
Mrs. Robinson, exactly.
There we go.
Mrs. Robinson is played by Anne Hathaway.
Oh, okay.
No, it's
Anne.
Oh,
I love her in that.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Anne Bancroft.
There we go.
But like she plays this hot. I think she qualifies as very much literally as a MILF in The Graduate. Have you seen the movie The Graduate? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Yes, because
she's literally a mother.
Yes.
And he literally has desires. No spoilers.
Yeah, he's a mother and he wants to ILF. Like,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I find it troubling. I think it's weird because they used to remember when people used to talk about cougars. Remember, that was out of the hot thing in the early days of like reality TV. You talk about cougars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you contrast a cougar and a MILF?
You're right. I in fact remember there was a porno, as they say, based on a novelty card game that I'm familiar with that some people found and sent to me. And I was like,
Schmapples to Schmapples.
Yep. We were like, this MILF is younger than everybody in the room, and we're all in our mid-20s.
I think it's very troubling. I think it's very upsetting. And we're not talking about it. I think it's very troubling.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I don't think that they have they're not in any unions. So if you could, there should be like a MILF union. And
they could all change their icons. That's a good idea.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
No. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not about Tehran. We already saved Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about like when everybody decides to unionize at Bloomberg or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
change your icon. You're saying all the MILFs get out there.
Yeah. And they're
but
like,
they could still be on Pinterest on Maine. Like they've got their stuff they're doing over here about their she shed, but back on Twitter, there's a MILF union.
Yes.
And that would be like under the auspices of like an AFL-CIO, but it would be for MILFs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
MILF union is definitely a show on what on like it's one of those like
MILF
Bravo
Island.
Shows.
MILF Island.
I love MILF Island.
Oh, do either of you know about Love Island, the program that airs after Survivor every week? And
Love Island.
Don't enjoy that automatically playing.
Is it like that Bachelor show where they go to their little fuck shack? Wait a minute. So is it all horny people on an island? Is that the idea?
Yes, and it is much worse.
Tell me about Love Island. Is it really about love?
What is
you're there
love,
for the
Merlin?
Right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From what I understand from the complete episode I watched, it's almost like a round robin style matching or a draft. It's a Jason Snell style draft where all of the women pick a man from a random selection. I guess you you send in your audition tape and whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you're not picked, then you leave. And then a new guy comes, and then they have what's called couplings, and then there's double couplings, and and they all share one gigantic bedroom, and you can choose wherever you'd like to sleep. And there's like some...
That sounds icky.
Yeah, it was icky. It was unpleasant. I don't know why I didn't turn it off. And when... You know when shows say like, oh yeah, they're always mic'd, they're always mic'd. They are truly always mic'd in that have lavs that are just on a necklace. Like, it's like the microphone just hangs off. And if they're not wearing their lav, like, you can clearly see it. And so they're contractually contractually obligated to always have them on.
Even when they make toilets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They specifically show that as well as the showering, because then, you know, it needs to be picked up, like, even through the steam. Are there two people in there? Who's to say? Uh-oh.
This sounds horrible.
Yeah, it was very...
Is it mainly for the... what's the phrase I'm looking for? The peeping Tomness of it? Is it like the, ooh, I'm getting to see private things? Is it for the sexiness? Or like, why do you think people watch this?
I don't know. Like, it's not, it's got some icky notes that The Bachelor has, and it's also kind of like a voyeurism type thing. I don't know. I also don't really understand the mechanics of how it's a game in any way. Like, there's no winners.
I have an idea about this. Because I've been leaning a lot on like Google News and Apple News and stuff just to try and follow the news lately. And I said this earlier, but I get like tons of like Bachelor gossip, and it's kind of made me aware of this idea that there's an entire industry of Bachelor news. So there's basically whole websites, and what they do is they write articles about what Bachelor people say on each other's Instagrams. Like,
really?
Yeah, so-and-so left.
The same way that they follow the YouTube drama?
Absolutely,
kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my God, really?
It's like so-and-so left a catty message on so-and-so's Instagram, and we reached out, and then they said this, and then this person. And then the next day, you see this person react to this person and that person's feud. So it's this whole ecosystem that is out there that I'm guessing it exists because a lot of people follow it. But what was interesting to me is like, what kind of, it's a kind of celebrity, right? You're following these people's lives, you're entangled in their little spats and their feuds and things, but they're not normal. They're not celebrities like in the 80s, like when you, like when I was a kid.
It's not like, you know, Chevy Chase or Anne Hathaway for that matter. It's the kind of a reality celebrity is a different kind of celebrity, but now you could be a Vanderpump.
Yes.
Right? And like, that's a whole thing.
Well, okay. So when I was a kid, I remember I would go to the grocery store and you'd see all these magazines when you would go to check out with all this shocking celebrity gossip. That was a big fixture of the 90s, of like the early 90s of my childhood, was this whole industry of celebrity gossip. And there was such a small number of celebrities that you could have a magazine at the grocery store and be like, these are the celebs that everyone cares about.
Yes.
That's what I would say is like celebrity.
Right. Especially if it was somebody who was regarded as kind of a train wreck on an ongoing basis. So somebody who had been huge, like Elizabeth Taylor, would get covered a lot because you go, oh my God, she looks terrible. She's near death. That kind of stuff. Well as like the, here's Jennifer Aniston, you know, like getting coffee.
Jennifer Aniston.
I feel like George Clooney was a big celebrity gossip person when I was a kid. But Brad Pitt has always been like a big gossip.
Sure.
Tom Cruise, like that level of thing.
Anyone who has ever talked to Jennifer Aniston.
So now I think.
Jennifer Aniston. Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Good morning, everybody.
So now I think, I think things are changing. I think slowly over some time, but now it's like really becoming a mature thing. People have kind of discovered that it's fun to have a celebrity thing to gossip about, and that's an industry. Mm-hmm. But the problem with doing it with...
And there's enough shared, like, just repeat what you said. There's enough shared idea of who the celebrities were and why they were worth talking about that, like, you could strike up a conversation with somebody about...
Oh, well, that's
whoever.
An interesting feature of it. I just more mean that there's people out there going, if people care about Brad Pitt, then they will buy magazines about and to see pictures of Brad Pitt and read stories about him and things. That there's this, that people have this space in their brain for what they regard as celebrities, and they want to read like salacious news about them and just tidbits and morsels about their lives and whatever. And I think now we're in this era where that thing hit a ceiling because there's only so many celebs and there's only so much celeb news. And so now what we've done is like created artificial celebrities and artificial ecosystems of celebrity news. So whatever you're...
Whoa, speaking of like a William Gibson, yes, I never thought of it that way.
So whatever you're into,
Whoa.
If you're into... I am into reality TV. Like, I just think it's... I like The Bachelor, I like Survivor. Like, it's like a kind of people watching for me. But it's really interesting of like, I don't think I watch those shows for the celebrity factor of like, I don't really care. Like, for example, on Survivor, when they bring someone back, I'm usually disappointed. I'm like, I don't want to see that person. I want to see the new people and see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I know
we like Ozzy, but that's enough Ozzy.
Oh, so
yeah, but like,
don't say that. Stop that, Alexandra.
Okay.
But a lot of people watch Survivor for a kind of celebrity gossip purposes of like these are their people and they know them and it's like oh it's that guy that I know. Does that make sense? Like
it does. It does. Well, like this is going to sound stupid. I'm not trying to sound stupid. To analogize this, so the Survivor, so the people writing about people who've been on Survivor are the monthly floppy issues of a Marvel comic, and Survivor the show is an Avengers event.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're like, I don't know if that makes sense,
no,
but
yeah,
like,
that's
if,
really good.
If you can really get in the weeds about this one Star Wars character, for example, in this series, right? If you're very into, like, I don't know, Hawkeye or whoever, or Black Widow, you follow this, but then you get, then they become part of the big, oh my God, the event. And, but like, but for the people who are following it, that's just one part of it.
There's a kind of way that all of these networks and this new type of celebrity has become commodified so that there's like a cottage industry of like celebrity gossip that's like, it's like never too small, right? So if you're into beauty YouTubers, mm-hmm. you can go on YouTube and watch beauty YouTube. But I think a big part of being into beauty YouTube is that you also get celebrity gossip about the beauty YouTubers that you watch. And even though they're barely celebrities,
wow.
right? They
oh my God.
Minimally right. qualify as celebrities, but they do have hundreds of thousands of people watching them, so then there's going to be an even smaller cottage industry that's like, here's the personal drama between these two people. And I think it scratches the same itch as, here's what's happening with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, oh, this is a person yes. who figures in my life, and I want to build them up and tear them down. I want to hear their foibles and hear anecdotes of if they left a big tip in a restaurant or left a mean comment mm-hmm. on someone's Instagram.
I mean, I have sort of fallen prey to that, especially with like Boston Rob and Amber. Like when you're
I was gonna say that is the single biggest dishy celebrity thing that I am aware of happening off screen on Survivor.
Yeah, I'm just like yay! I don't know. I mean,
he wanted to protect her. Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. So cute. I just watched
that
season.
Was sweet.
Oh,
that's a good. That's a really good.
It
season.
It is. It is. But I truly didn't. I guess I thought what Max is describing was like the norm now, which I guess it is. But the other day, I was in a brick and mortar retail store and saw the cover of Us Weekly with the headline and the cover is Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson are not back together,
all right.
but they remain good friends. And I may have read this article, and they don't mention Jeffrey Epstein one time. Not fucking once. And then I'm like, maybe I was too tired when I was reading this. No, I've gone to Us Weekly, Command F, F Epstein, Command F Jeffrey, Command F pedophile. Nothing. Just Andrew and Fergie. But, yeah, so.
Does it mention his... problems?
Nope. Just their kids.
That seems like somewhat. I don't say irresponsible, but it seems like somewhat incomplete journalism.
Yeah. Is that what Us Weekly is?
I sent you a set on Flickr that we can put in notes. You can tell this was taken with a Samsung photo back in the day. I always used to be so fascinated by this. Sometimes my lady friend would buy like a trashy magazine, but these are almost all taken. Yeah, there's a telltale bump. These are all photos pretty much taken in the checkout at a grocery store over some period of time. And believe me, this is not all of them. It was at the time for these magazines, it was so easy. And basically, these are covers that feature speculation over whether a given woman is pregnant.
Oh my God.
Let's take out all the celebrity part for a minute. This is where they've got photos and research on whether a given woman is pregnant.
Oh, God, this is horrific.
Now, okay, let's say what we're talking about here. It's mostly Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
that the telltale bump? She looks so pregnant. Mm. Her bump gets bigger. Katie looks pregnant again. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lee. Angie looks pregnant again. Katie looks pregnant again. Jayla's got a bump alert. Brad won't get married. Boo. Angelina wants another baby. Telltale bump, bump, watch. Friends worry Britney's pregnant.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and this is so fucking upsetting to me.
It's,
it's so weird.
Really
look
weird.
At look at the Jamie Lynn, whoever Jamie Lynn person is.
Oh.
Look at the long lens
bump
they
watch.
Had to use. Bump watch.
I love a good bump watch.
Telltale bump.
Oh.
I love that. That's my favorite Poe story. That Jamie Lynn woman in the sweatshirt.
Bump gets bigger.
Just, bump gets bigger. Friends worry. Bump, bump. Telltale bump. Bump. She looks so pregnant. J-Lo's turn for baby
first
joy. Bump,
bump
alert.
Doesn't the way this
bump,
is written
bump,
sound like
bump,
somebody's...
Bump, bump.
Doesn't it sound like someone's fetish the way it's written.
Yes,
that's a bro, that's a big bump. That's a big bump.
She looks so pregnant.
Bump watch.
Oh bump god, watch. This is so before got started.
Bump 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 bump
bump
bump
bump
bump. First bump photo.
A baby bump? Question mark. A baby bump.
And then when they find out she is pregnant, they're just disappointed and they can't finish.
No.
I like the wondering baby bump. Bump bump.
That's a big bump.
She looks so pregnant. She looks pregnant again. Bump 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 bump.
Oh,
I'm gonna lose the deposit on my reference monitor.
It's unfortunate
Doug.
That we haven't already done our challenge,
Dick,
which of course I know what it is
Dick
and did this
Doug.
Week. What, but just to testing you guys, do you remember what it is and did you do it?
Do you want to just go? Do you want to just go to the after show? Because that was a lot.
Well, let's just say, Dig Dug, the challenge this week was to create a signature sauce.
Oh, suffice it to say, we all did that and discussed it. We probably got edited
my
out.
My signature sauce is bump, bump, bump.
Okay.
She looks so pregnant.
All right. Signature sauce. I melted some peanut butter and put it over a graham cracker, and it was delicious.
That's not a
is
sauce.
Is that a joke?
Why?
That's peanut butter.
Why not? No.
It's a hot dog, technically, or a burrito.
Oh, okay. So cheese. Doesn't cheese become a sauce? Can't you have cheese sauce? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have Merlin, this was yours, right? Man, I was so excited about this challenge, and I wasn't home almost all week, and I didn't have time to cook.
You can always come back and follow up. You can just get an incomplete on this one.
Yeah.
It's an incomplete.
I love making a sauce, but I kind of improvise.
Oh,
what I did was I kind of blew it already. I kind of blew my bump last week talking about what some of my signature sauces are. I have a few signature sauces. I have a few signature powders that I make. But I spent my time this week going to copycat recipe sites to try and find other people's sauces and powders.
Okay.
And that's where I focus some attention. And I'm just here to tell you it's a very, very confused community out there. That is not Cajun sparkle, my friend.
Mm.
Whoa.
No.
I've been trying to make the House of Prime Rib, classic Lawry's spinning salad dressing with the beets. You remember that. You've had that, Max.
Yes.
It's all about the beets.
Yes,
but
yes.
Those recipes suck. It's a mess out there. Because, you guys know about this. There's like this whole thing for a long time of like, I think there's even like semi-famous sites. And of course, fucking Pinterest, which I hate. I hate Pinterest so much. I almost want to go back to Chrome so I have a way to block Pinterest in my results because I can't do it on Safari.
What are you on now? Are you on Firefox?
No, all Safari.
Mm-hmm.
All Safari everywhere.
Love Safari.
Firefox is my backup browser. Like if something's not working or being weird, I'll open it in Firefox because I have so many moats and portcullises with Safari.
There's just a few critical things I just cannot adjust to in Safari.
I know. Oh, really? With Safari, I was gonna say, I love Firefox, but it really Safari feels so Apple-looking to me. And when I look at other, I don't even open Chrome. I don't open Chrome unless I have to.
I love that part. The part I don't love is in Chrome. There's this really useful. This is one little example, but there's this really useful tab behavior where to open a new tab, you hit Apple T. Right, and that creates a new blank tab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and if you close a tab, that's Apple. I don't remember. I have a muscle memory.
Command Shift T. No, Command Shift T is open last time.
No, right. Oh, anyway, really? I think it's maybe Command W closes the tab.
You're right.
Yeah. And then if you want to undo that, if you want to bring back the last tab that you closed,
yeah, that's
it's Command Shift T. And I use that so often I don't even think about it. It's muscle memory.
Well, and you can do it's like a multiple level undo. So you can do tick 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 tick, you can do four of those.
You can bring them all back. If you're like, damn, 20 minutes ago I had this thing I needed to find, you can just bring back all your tabs. Safari does not work like that.
I'm doing it on Survivor.
It's
Apple.
It
isn't it Apple Z, like Command
No,
undo?
It's Command Shift T.
No. Command Shift Tab. Command Shift T.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was all mingled. Maybe they made it better.
My the bumps came back. The Prince Andrew Fergie came back.
Oh, she looks so pregnant.
So pregnant.